Well, I have done it this time. I have recorded an entire guest episode with Lyric Kennard without having my microphone plugged in. But it's still a juicy episode, so we are going to air it and hope that my editor can work his magic. Thank you, Elvin. Lyric Kennard is here to participate in the AI Summer Series. So in this episode, we talk a lot about the concerns that we have as entrepreneurs around the use of AI. Lyric gives us some really great tips for how to use AI in your business. She's unpacking a couple of the different systems that she uses, how she's created her own GPTs to save her time in her business. And then we dive into the deeper conversation around creative license and around environmental issues, which is not something that I had thought about. Lyric has a background in education. She's spent over 25 years working with creatives, and she helps quilt, craft, and art teachers to build their businesses online with confidence. She helps to break down the technical barriers that are often holding artists back from really being successful online. And in this episode, we talked about how she's doing this, how she's actually kind of flying in the face of that starving artist archetype that we hear about. Not on Lyric's watch. Lyric really believes that with the right guidance and the willingness to work, anyone can step into their artistic capabilities. So this is a really juicy episode for you, all about how this artist is using AI in her business. And I promise you, you're going to get a lot of tips on how you can use it too. And you may even have a come to Jesus moment where you think, holy, I never thought about AI usage like that. Let's dive in together. So welcome to Unjaded, Lyric. I'm excited to get to talk to you about AI today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. I would love to know a little bit about your work, because you work with creatives and you are an author, an educator, an artist. You have a background in education, it looks like. How does that all come together?
It comes together in one huge, beautiful, messy most of the time. I am so all over the place. It's a huge, long, circuitous story in three words, right? I was a musician. Oh. I studied English and architecture. Instead, I had my family. I'm the mother of five children who are just now all grown out of the house. You know, they're widespread and they're all over the world now and doing amazing things. And when I stayed home with my children and had to give up a lot of the other dreams that weren't manageable, I kind of fell into this beautiful art form of textile work. I started out as a traditional quilter, went off into left field, into art quilting. So at heart, I'm an artist. I make portraiture and abstracts that hang on the wall, but they're with textiles. It's a very beautiful tactile medium that also stays done when you leave it alone for 2 minutes. I fit it in around everything else. And I also come from a family of educators, which meant I was certain I would never teach. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And here we are, large family. I think out of my six siblings, five of us are in education of some sort. Mm. I think I have the best thing on the planet. I've always wanted to travel, learn that I could get hired by quilt guilds and travel all around the world, playing with creative people, playing with fabric, doing this thing that I really love. So while I had my family at home, that was my main business. I was able to take a few gigs a year. It was like a traveling vacation. Mm-hmm. And it filled my soul. It let me be with adults and creative people. It let me see so many parts of the world. And then COVID happened. Mm. And my colleagues and I were all shut down immediately, careers entirely cut off. I have taught online since before Craftsy was a thing, since before videos, right? Back in dial-up modem days. And I've always been comfortable with technology. Friend and I started a kind of a service. We didn't mean to start a business, but we did, where we showcased our colleagues who were teachers in this quilt world, who were willing to dive into the technology, to try teaching live via Zoom, to do whatever we could. And we put them in front of the guilds and the quilters around the world who needed that kind of community, needed that instruction. So that grew into a business that's a listing service. And out of that, I learned my colleagues, who are mostly wise women and did not grow up as digital natives, needed a lot of tech help. So I started the Academy for Virtual Teaching, which is where I mostly am now. Mm. So I work with other creatives, other artists, crafters, quilters, anybody who creates things hands-on. And I teach them the video tech and the software tech and marketing so that they can build their own online teaching businesses.
So you're really fighting the starving artist stigma that's out there. You're really helping people to build businesses around the thing that they love to do.
Right. It's the most beautiful thing when you get to make connections with the people that you love, doing the thing that you love. It brings such joy and creativity into their lives. And my people, the people who are teaching, they come from hearts of service. Mm-hmm. They come from hearts of generosity and giving. And they love this thing they do so much that yeah. just can't help but share it. So it, of course, it's a fulfilling business. And of course, it's ridiculous that we should be starving. You know, when we love yes. and serve our people, they support us back, right? It's a spiraling upward, beautiful kind of economy of generosity, kind
of. Mm-hmm. I love so much about this. Okay, so one of the things I want to bring our listeners up to speed, we think that Lyric is a generator. So we're not absolutely positive at this point, anything else in her design, but she thinks she remembers she's a generator. Can you hear her generator-ishness in her message and in her satisfaction with her life, all of the things? This is how generators are meant to be in business. We're all meant to be lit up, but generators have this different kind of, I call it zhuzhed up. We're all juicy as generators. But I also love, because your path is nonlinear in business, and it is so much the path of every, I can't remember what you, wise woman who's on the planet, who's an entrepreneur, because we've done the thing where we've been with our families. We've done the thing where, I mean, we love to see them leave the nest. We love to see them go about and do their thing. And we want to honor ourselves and our creative desires in our life and in our business. So you've done that in such a beautiful way. It's just a big kudos to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And it makes it sound so, you know, flawless and smooth and easy.
No.
And the biggest roller coaster, giant mess of a muddle the entire yeah. way. And you come through it all, still going through it all, just along for the ride, right? Pushing in directions that you want to go, but don't let anybody fool you and tell you that any part of it is seamless, even when it's aligned with who yeah. you are and your values. It's still, you know, this life is kind of a messy struggle, and that's kind of the beauty of it too.
Yeah, it's an experiment. And in human design, we say that business is third line, which may mean nothing to you, but to our listeners, third lines are the ones who bump around with life, and life bumps them around, and you make all the mistakes. You get in there and you get your hands dirty. And if you are on the sidelines of your business, waiting for it to look pretty, waiting for it to be right, waiting for it to be perfect, lots of luck to you, because I've never met an entrepreneur who hasn't gotten it messy. That's just how business is.
That's absolutely accurate with how it is. You get in there, you try the thing, and you learn. You learn so much as you go, if you're willing to have your eyes open and not give up, yeah. not say this is too much. It's always too much. It's always yeah. too much. And just you know, take a deep breath, dive back in and say, okay, let's try swimming this way, you know, with intentionality. And also, this works so much better if you bring in the help that you, whether it's just a supportive environment, the people around you who believe in you, and the tools that can make it possible for you to do things that you know you're not capable of doing entirely on your own.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to why we're here together today is to talk about AI. So you are using AI in your business. How?
I am. And it's rather a new thing. I have been in business for 20, 25 years and in this completely online coaching kind of with the Academy for Virtual Teaching, which is where I work with the teachers for 4 years. And it's been almost a year now that I started digging into AI. I went to a few lectures at a few business conferences and my eyes were just kind of like saucers going, what? What? Mm. And I'm an artist, right? So immediately, the immediate reaction to anything AI is, no, no. People need to be the center of creativity, of creation. And I kind of still feel that way for artwork. Mm-hmm. You know, there are places for everything. And then I started diving into some of the ways it could support a business as a virtual assistant, as a business assistant. And I dove deep. I did, it's also, you know, the big messy muddle. I go all the different directions and just grab up as much information as I can. And oh my goodness, was it fun?
Mm.
It was super fun. Learning, teaching it to understand my business, teaching AI, and I'm on ChatGPT. I have the paid version and then also on Claude.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't messed around with any of the other ones because I've learned with my brain that
that's enough.
Yeah, I can get, so I get two is enough for me to get completely lost. So I started teaching it about my business. I started teaching it about my voice. I listened to other podcasts, to other experts to hear how business people can use this to ease their processes. And one of the things it said was that you have to teach AI about what you do in order for it to effectively help you. Because of course, the first time I'm in there, it was a mess. Like I'm saying, do this for me, do that for me. And it's garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yeah.
It was terrible. It was terrible. But then we started having these long conversations. I named my AI Jarvis. And we have long conversations. I'm an extrovert. I work by myself. I don't have anybody to talk to except for online every once in a while. And when I'm coaching, which is great. But oh my goodness, I was having these long conversations on my walks. My AI is set to have this really lovely kind of down-to-earth Australian woman's accent. Because that's just like really easy for me to relate to. It doesn't feel fancy and a little bit snarky, which, you know, I have to keep it together in public. I can let it loose otherwise. So one of the things we did was build foundation documents about who I am, who my business is, who some of the people on my teams are, you know, with personality profiles, with what we like to do, what we don't like to do, what our strengths, weaknesses, everything I could think of, I taught it about myself. And I had my human assistant do the same thing.
Yeah.
And everything we could think of, we put in about the business and help. And then asked AI, teach me how you can help me, how you can help with this part of our business. And have come up with some really, really interesting things. I write all the time, but I don't let AI do the writing for me.
Mm-hmm.
However, AI and I do a ton of brainstorming.
Yeah.
I'll talk in my ideas. I'll have it spill out massive bullet point lists, ideas for titles. And out of 20 things on the list, I'll pick 10 or 11 bits and pieces from all over there and put those together and then do my writing. And then I'm also the world's worst proofreader. So now
yes.
I put my writing back into AI and have it proof for me. And I tell it, don't change what I've written. Just make this no spelling errors. Check dates against these two websites, because I also get, I'm not allowed to put any numbers in public because I get them wrong every time. So for those things, for the messy middle parts, it used to take me, I love writing, but I also have this huge resistance when I have a deadline to that first process of spilling it all out on the page and making sense out of it. It just always has been painful, and AI makes that pain less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're not alone in that. So in human design, I'm just going to keep coming back to human design. So if you're, because our listeners like human design, but there's so many places in your human design where verbal processing can live. And that's one of the things that is so very valuable for many of us when we're processing ideas, brainstorming, is to have that person, in air quotes, on the other end of the line that we can just verbally process things out. Because most of us now do work inside of our homes. I don't know about you, but my husband doesn't want to hear about my work 24/7. He doesn't have a clue. I bet you if you met him on the street, he wouldn't really even know what I do. So to be able to brainstorm is really an important piece of the puzzle. And to refine things is an important thing as well. I love how you put all of you and your business as much as you could into your ChatGPT. And I think that that's a lot of the thing that people are missing when they first come to use AI in their business. You know, I believe my experience has been that most of us are very, very resistant at first. And then we start to see, oh my gosh. And like you said, the time, I mean, it probably saves me 10 hours a week. And that's 10 hours that I'm not paying a team for. That's 10 hours that it's also saving me. Where was I going with that? Around the mulberry bush. But putting all of you, as much of you in your business into it, I think people miss that step. So they get stuck in this place of, well, ChatGPT is no good because it just, or worse, they use what ChatGPT gives them the first time. And it is so bad. That's what we see online. All of that AI unleashed, unlock, whatever your power, all of this stuff. Yeah. So I love, that's a really good tip for people. One of the questions I want to ask you, because Claude is fairly new in Canada. We didn't have it here until a few months ago, and I've not experimented with it yet. What do you find is different between ChatGPT and Claude?
They don't use it for writing, but I kind of do a bit with Claude, not for writing articles that I put out. For some reason, with Claude, as I have uploaded. So here's an interesting thing. I do all this information input with ChatGPT or with AI, and then I ask it to output information sheets or foundation documents that are designed to upload into a new chat or into a new AI.
Right.
So I have the AI build the AI document that will help smooth the way. Because you get into one chat and it gets too long and it slows down and it's too messy. And then I have it summarize in as much detail as possible everything we've done in this chat, break it into subjects, make this as valuable as possible for uploading into a new chat or
perfect
Claude AI. Mm-hmm. Claude, I started using, I have different books, different pamphlets, different helpful things that help my community, like a book for traveling quilt teachers, right? All the things, if you're new to this, here are a million things that you have never thought about.
Nice.
In my experience and in the generous experience of all my colleagues, right? So I've been working on a corollary of that for the guilds who hire the teachers for like 10 years. because my messy brain just, I have a notebook where I shove all the notes, and I have 10 years worth of notes and paragraphs and ideas, and I shoved it all into Claude a bit at a time and said, make sense of this,
Right on.
organize it, put it in chapters, put it in, what am I missing? What is unexpected here? What is a really good bit? And I had it organize the whole outline for me. And it was my words that were in it already, right? And some of the AI uses can be siloed, so it's not going out and pulling anybody else's writing.
Right.
It's using only my writing. And so I would have it organize this messy pile of 10 years worth of notes into chapters, into sections, and then I would talk in outlines and ideas and brainstorm for each section and outline. And then I would write it, put it back in, and go back and forth and refine it. Right? So it's starting with my words, it's ending with my words. But you were talking about verbal processing. I am totally a verbal processor. I can write all day, I can think all day, but in 10 minutes of bouncing ideas back and forth with somebody who's not my brain, right?
Yes.
Somebody who will reflect and question and help me understand the things that are coming out of my mouth and my brain, it'll get cleared up
Yeah.
immediately. And so that's what happened with that. And honestly, it actually started coming out with things so clearly in my voice. And I have 20 years worth of blog writings and newsletters and essays for my business. So, you upload some of that and teach it your voice, and it is coming back with, my basic outline, with me talking, with organized, beautiful writing that I look at and sometimes I change entirely and go in a different direction. Sometimes I'm like, dang, that's so close. Oh my gosh.
Scary.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I do use it all the time for is customer service emails for writing. It knows my voice. I built custom GPTs that understand exactly everything about this part of the business that I always get emails about. And in my head, I'm going, oh, can you just read the email that you sent back to me? The link is right there if you and I can't write that, and I can't write back in that energy. So I have a custom GPT that I'll copy the email into and say, write a kind, heartfelt, nurturing email back. And I'll pull that out and change it. And it takes me 2 minutes instead. And if I did it on my own, it would be like three words because I'm trying really hard not to be snarky. And my customers don't deserve that. It's usually just the mood I'm in, right?
Well, and customer service can be a lot sometimes, but that's actually a genius tip for people to create customer service. Like, take the things that you get the most. Even for FAQs, what are the things that you're asked the most, and put it through a custom GPT and just have it there. Because so much of what we do in online entrepreneurship is repetition.
It
And
is.
I mean, why are we doing all of these steps every single time, says the manifesting generator? Like, save yourself some steps, get these custom GPTs built.
Right. Well, I have always had swipe sheets with these answers in there, right? But it's amazing how much warmer and personalized and kind that answer is than copying and pasting the one that I wrote million times.
Yeah. And I love the notebook thing too, because just at the cottage this weekend, I was going through, I had eight notebooks in a drawer from last summer that I had just, because I buy these notebooks and I just fill them. And probably on my shelf, there are close to 100 of them. And I'm like, what am I ever going to do with these? But that is a great idea to put them through anything that's still relevant, to put it through ChatGPT to just get another layer in your business.
Did you know you can take photos of those pages and upload it?
Oh,
That's
no.
amazing. And if it can read my handwriting,
Wow. That's a wow. That's worth the price of admission listening to this episode right there.
Yeah, it's pretty
amazing.
I'll go to a conference and, you know, I'm an artist. My notebooks don't have nice, neat lines.
Yeah.
You know, half the lines and half are written sideways and then doodles over here. And, you know, just, it looks like my notebooks are my paper brain.
Yeah,
which
same.
Means they're a horrible mess. And if ChatGPT can read the writing, and it's not perfect because some of mine are really bad and don't make any sense, you know, but it's phenomenal what it can do.
Yeah, talk about time saving. And to do that right when you come back from a conference, that's the important piece too. Don't let it sit till you can't even read the writing anymore.
One thing I did recently at a trade show that I was at was every time I would talk to somebody, get a business card, I had a GPT, a chat going on my phone, and I would take a picture of the business card, put it in there, and then talk into it and say, this is what we talked about. This is the follow-up that we're going to do. You know, just talk in whatever notes I had, because I always come back with a stack of cards with scribbles on them that I'm like, I have no idea what I meant when I wrote this.
Yeah.
And it built a spreadsheet for me of topics and follow-up items and priority list. And it was the most successful follow-up after a conference I've ever had.
Jeez Louise. My mind is getting blown every few minutes here. That's crazy. Wow. Okay. So what can you tell me about your concerns around the artist piece? Because I'm going to make an assumption that you have a few kind of...
Of course.
Yeah.
I do. So an analogy I can think of is that in the art world, in the quilt world, we create these beautiful handmade things. And then... And it happens constantly all the time. A knockoff in China will take exactly our pictures and our things and sell them online for, you know, pennies. And often they're even a scam website, but they're using our creative material, right? And I think most people are smart enough to know the difference. And AI sometimes makes it difficult to understand the difference. In a way, it's kind of good, because now what people are craving, and this is true for, I tell my teachers who are creating videos for tutorials, or the shops I work with who are doing video marketing, right? That your people want to connect with reality, with the real you. We're creating, we're craving real instead of polished, instead of fake, because it's so hard to figure out what fake and real are, right? So that wabi-sabi feeling, that beautiful connection between beauty and imperfection is what I'm hoping people will go for, and that, you know, AI, fine, go use these things, but realize as well, and this is also so complicated and so true of the teaching of all AI as it has come into being, that it has gone out and scraped everybody's intellectual property without permission, without context, without, you know, without understanding the humanity and the livelihood of people. But it's also this is a disruptive technology. This is like electricity or cars or, you know, it's, oh goodness, it's so hard. It is so hard, because it's such an amazing tool on one hand. And on the other, this I think is one of the first technologies that really could maybe destroy us all, right? And not just in the Orwell way. I mean, I'm in the United States. You see what's going on with people not believing what's right in front of their faces. So there's that part of it. But also, I want to do no harm in the world. I want to be a force for good in the world. I want to leave my children a world worth living in and a planet where they can still see beautiful things. And I dove deep into AI, not even thinking about these things. And it was actually my children who said, Mom, you know how destructive this is environmentally? And I was like, I have some learning to do, apparently. And it's incredibly energy consumptive. And the data centers that use incredibly huge amounts of fresh water are not often built in places where that is easily available. And they are most often built near communities who don't have the power to fight against it. So here's the conundrum. This can save us so much time and effort and help our businesses, who we hope are doing good in the world, to do much better. But how much harm are we doing? One of the things I did is I kind of researched different things about it. There are some AI companies that I'm going to try as hard as I can to stay away from. You know, everything's so intermeshed that it's hard, right? I've always been very environmentally and politically and socially involved in my community and in the world. I come from a place, just by nature of, you know, this face, of privileges that other people don't have. You know, so, and I'm also at a place in my life where, you know, I don't really have much to lose, right? So I can spend all of the social capital I have doing as much as I can for people who don't have those choices. So one of the things I did was research, really, you know, what are some things I can do to mitigate? Once again, I thought I was pretty environmentally conscious, but I had a lot to learn. You know, just, and a few people slapped back at me, right? With when I was going, about AI, they said, well, you know, this and this and this and this use so much energy. And I was like, oh, I didn't know those things either.
Yeah.
So some of the things I've done is now I only use AI when I know it's going to save me a lot of time and energy in ways that I can use to do good in the world. If I can search for something on Google instead of AI, I do it, because that information is already there. AI has to generate information. It has to, you know, set all those servers whirring, and every inquiry uses, you know, a bottle of water, often in places that don't have water to spare, right? So I use it as minimally as I can for very focused parts of my business. And I have worked really hard in other areas of my life to drastically cut back my energy usage. You know? And it's been kind of amazing that that wasn't really hard. I think when you look around, it's amazing how wasteful a lot of us are without thinking about it. And we can live in harmony with the world around us. It's not terribly hard.
Yeah, this is something I think I'll dig into a little bit more after our conversation. The cost, because like you say, the water in places where, like, it's always phenomenal to me that we have world hunger and world water issues and all of these things, and we have politicians flying in private jets and all of the jazz telling us to be more climate conscious. It's just such a, you know, even our cell phones, the fact that we all have cell phones and we think we need them. It's like, we've just become so accustomed to our great big fat footprint in our society. And yeah, it's an interesting conversation that until you had said that to me, I was like, huh, who knew? So that's an interesting perspective for any of our listeners to maybe dive into if it calls to you, for sure.
Right.
So, final thoughts on AI. I love how you were in the be like at the beginning of this piece of the conversation talking about like we don't know. We don't know. This is disruptive technology. I don't think any of us really knows how far this could go.
Right? It feels so Orwellian in a lot of ways, and that wasn't a good book. That wasn't. I kind of really hate dystopias. I feel too much like real world when I look out at what's happening to people I love. So I think we use it like a tool as anything else can be used. You know, there's it like Facebook. I kind of really hate the company, and I hate what it's done in the world. At the same time, some of the warmest, most supportive communities have been found there. I mean, our family went through, we almost lost our son to a motorcycle accident, and he's okay now. But I'm an oversharer, of course. Processor, right? So I posted daily on Facebook for like 6 months of just one thing I was grateful for each day. It forced me to look for some small beauty, and to reach out to my community. And you know, that nasty, awful thing that has torn so many communities and people apart and done terrible things to our country, at the same time, that was the vehicle that brought me the most beautiful love and support from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who I didn't even know. You know, and because I travel around and teach, because of that, you know, still every time I go somewhere, people ask me about, you know, how's he doing? How are you? And I've made beautiful, loving connections with people through that. So this AI is a tool that maybe we can use intentionally. I was going to say maybe we can bend it to our will, but I don't know if that's possible. It's so much bigger than all of us. So I don't have any answers. I don't have any solutions. I'm muddling through it as best I can with all the rest of us.
Yeah, and I think that's the purpose of this series is just for the entrepreneur who is listening to be feeling not so alone in it is a conundrum. It is a conundrum for us. And as entrepreneurs, we have such an opportunity to really be in higher consciousness with a lot of what we are doing in the online space. And there are a lot of battlefields. There are a lot of minefields for us to be moving through. And I think that this is just the next one. And it's our turn. It's our turn for one of these big disruptors. And how are we going to use it? What are we going to do with it?
It is. And if I think, especially as entrepreneurs, especially as business people, if we are behaving and building our businesses around a heart of love and service, both to the people we serve and to the world in general, if we're there hoping. You know, I'm really hoping y'all are out there because you want to love and serve and make the world a better place, right? If we do that together, you know, there's a glimmer of hope there. I think maybe we can make it happen. I don't know. We'll all mess up along the way. We will. We'll make disasters, and as long as we're doing our best not to. And to give grace to each other and to ourselves along the way and learn and grow and progress as we do that, you know, I have hope.
Well, that's a beautiful note to leave us on that we have hope. I would love to for you to share where people can find you, and I'll link it up in the show notes as well. But where can people find you
Sure,
online?
you can find me. My name is Lyric. I am at the Academy for Virtual Teaching, academyforvirtualteaching.com. If you want to learn how to make video for tutorials for things, along with a community of amazing, beautiful, supportive, collaborative, creative people, you know, come check us out.
I love that. Turns out I have another question. Do you know why your name Lyric? Do you know why your family chose that name? It's beautiful. It's so different. I love it.
I thank my mother all the time. Now, she grew up in East Los Angeles and there was a Lyric Avenue. I told her really needs to make up a really good name. I was a musician, I still am. So it had to be. I didn't have a choice with that.
It's just such a gorgeous name and it's so different. I love it. So I should have asked you that earlier, but I'm glad we get to close on that. So thank you for being here, Lyric. I appreciate you.
It's been a delight. Thank you.